As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Would you rather eat a baby goat or a matter baby?
A matter baby?
Yeah.
What's a matter baby?
Nothing, sugar. What's the matter with you?
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, March 17th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen today, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there, but specifically to JD. Have you cracked your first Guinness yet?
Yeah, JD? I'm on my second. I hit it in my traveler here, so it's going to be a great day, guys. Three shows today.
Woo! And you're trying to buy a house.
Yeah, wheeling and dealing. Rachel's on the phone behind me with our agent, and we're getting close to closing this thing. It's going to be great.
Wow.
Excellent. All right. Well, keep us posted. Yeah, if we don't find out during this show, we'll know by beach stepping later today, because we'll be hitting the beach for our mailbag-only episode. You can email in your questions and comments always to nodunks@theathletic.com. That episode will hopefully go live around 3 p.m. Eastern if you want to join us on YouTube. Otherwise, it goes up in your podcast feed. No Trey Kirby, still on vacation, of course. Though we got to get on him to do his pick and payoff, I just remembered. We're running out of days here. He said he was going to do it on vacation. So hopefully in the next couple of days, we'll get that from him. Shout out to the stream team. Getting to you late here. Thanks for everybody to joining us on YouTube right now. Like, comment, and subscribe. Share the show. And Immaculate Items, always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Get your hoodies and your shorts and your t-shirts and all that good stuff from Breaking Tea/No Dunks. All right, guys. We got some Is This News fun later on. But we start with the games and Tass. Woo, baby. Dame scores 50 as the Blazers rally from 17 down in the last 6 minutes to beat the Pelicans. Did you go to bed? Because I did. I fell asleep, and then I woke up to Dame time. My goodness, this guy, 50 and 10, perfect at the line. What's the big takeaway? I mean, is there anything besides Damian Lillard? I don't know what it is.
Well, yeah, the Pelicans are a bit of a horror show. They're fun to watch because you never know what you're going to get from them. This is the first team that allowed the other team to come back from such a big deficit this season. The last 6 minutes, they're up 17. That does not happen. I think it was 236-0 teams were this season in that scenario. But yeah, that's fun to watch in a scary kind of way because they're good or they're bad, one or the other. But yeah, let's talk about Dame because that guy is, watching the highlights this morning, of course I went to bed. I had to get up and do the show. Hopefully you guys woke up with me this morning because I got up, I watched that Dame performance, and it was a quiet 50 to me. I know it sounds dumb, but he just allows the other team to do what they want, and then he comes back with his little fury. I know that he loves boxing. He is a true boxing diehard, and that's what I was thinking watching this. He's a boxer in a basketball player's body, and he's one of those boxers that allow you to punch, you throw your stuff, and then he'll come with whatever he's got, and he's packing big time. He'll fire away, and he is a special, special player. And I say it was quiet, and I say he was in that sort of that box mentality, because he's not going to come out and just throw his haymakers. Nah, he only took 20 shots in this game to get to 50 points. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. He hit 6 threes. That gives you 18 plus 18 free throws. That's 36. And then he hit 7 two-point shots. And even in the fourth quarter, you would think 50 points. He just poured it on at the end. Well, he was getting everybody involved. And again, like a boxer, like a good boxer, just took what his opponent gave him and just allowed that space. And then bang, bang. It was quiet to me. And his post-game interview was absolutely awesome. When he talked to the TNT crew, he got into shooting, got into his development, got into who he is as a person. Now, it's a lot of the same questions that people ask of him all the time, because they all just say, how do you do it, Dame? Who are you, man? How are you this cool under pressure? But he really got into the process and talking about how he does everything harder at his age, and being 30 years old didn't slow him down nothing, and that kind of thing, and how he loves his people harder, he loves everybody harder, he does everything harder. So it was a cool night for Dame, even though they didn't deserve to win this game, and the Pelicans should have sealed it, no doubt. But you always got a puncher's chance when you got Damian Lillard.
Lee, you must have been going crazy when you saw the 18 for 18 at the free throw line in the old box score there this morning, right? And hitting the two late, of course, to put them up 125-124 with like a second to go off the Bledsoe foul. I will say, Zion had a good chance. What a pass from Lonzo. That full court heave on the fly, Zion catches it. Can't get much of a better look with only 1 second inbounding it from your own basket, but obviously didn't fall. But what'd you think of Lillard's performance and his season overall right now?
Yeah, incredible stuff. Stan Van Gundy, you could just see it on the side every time they went to him as that lead just got shrunk down lower and lower. He just knew what was coming. And it wasn't the Dame step back three that killed him. It was the free throw line, as you mentioned, 18 for 18. The Blazers, 31 for 31. The Pelicans actually went 16 for 20, which is not bad, but it was the two late ones, the Brandon Ingram, 88% from the free throw line, clunked, that would have sealed this game for him. If he basically only had to hit one, and he missed both of them. And I looked at that Stan Van Gundy, and he was just like, "This, we're going to lose this game." He just knew it in that moment. It was going to happen, and they did. And when Lillard went to the free throw line, he just stuck those two daggers into the Pelicans. But Lillard, he started off, he sort of knew it was go time when they were down 17. He's like, okay, I'm going to have to put up one of his sort of 30-foot threes. That one dropped. Then he had a sort of spin-around three. That one dropped. And then I think Gary Trent Jr. hit one in there as well. And it got to that, even though it was still about 9 points, 8 points, it just sort of felt like the Pelicans were panicking already, because, you know, in Portland, when Lillard has sort of smells blood in the water, he's going to come out there and get that victory. But the Pelicans did themselves no favors. Their offense did sort of come to a bit of a halt. The Blazers defense is okay, but it was more that I just didn't think the Pelicans really got anything great going just to get a high percentage. Look, Bledsoe hit a three, but that was really about it. So this is a tough one here for the Pelicans to lose this one. I mean, a 17-point lead with 6 minutes to go. Even in the NBA, we always say you can come back from any margin. You should not blow that one. But Lillard, it wasn't Lillard just going crazy and just hitting bombs from everywhere. It was just more a sort of like slowly, just going to sort of wait till the time runs out and I'm going to be leading my team to victory. And that's what he did. So I'm disappointed we didn't get a classic Dame step back three, you know, with the celebration. But it's just as effective when you do it at the free throw line if you get the win.
Steven Adams must have went to bed last night and closed his eyes and saw in his nightmares Damian Lillard. Man, were they abusing him, putting him in the pick and roll, and then Dame just going to work. And like Jackson Hayes, you know, a lot of the times Dame would just take the three over him because he can move a lot quicker. He's a lot younger. Yeah. He can shuffle those feet. So he can do a better job of trying to stay in front of a guard like Lillard, but that's all right. Lillard can hit from 30. He'll pull in his eye, but my God, Steven Adams was just getting embarrassed. Like, I mean, it was... You know, just Lillard sees, they bring him into the action, then he either splits it, just goes around him, you know, getting some and-ones on Adams, like just a nightmare for him. Tough, tough matchup. I saw that World Wide Web tweeted to us that, this is no surprise to everybody that's been watching the show all season here at No Dunks, but Lillard leads the league in clutch points scored, 124 total. Clutch points per game, of course, nearly six. Clutch free throw percentage, Lee, 100%. Perfect. He has not missed a free throw in obviously a clutch game, which is a game within five. in the final 5 minutes, and he's shooting 55% from three and 61% overall in 22 clutch games played. And oh yeah, the Blazers have an incredible record in these close games. I mean, that right there is his MVP case, right? I know CJ McCollum comes back last night, gives him a little bit. You know, Nurk coming up, I think maybe in the next 2 weeks. But that's Lillard's MVP case. It's just like the guy takes over in close games. But you wonder how high, how many wins do the Blazers need to get? Where do they need to be in the standings for him to actually legit have a chance of getting his first MVP? Top three, top two, where they are now? Like, what do you think?
Well, I think this goes back even to the All-Star game and where Luka Doncic was picked over him as the starter. Dame didn't complain. You know, he didn't mention that he should have been the starter, but he definitely should have been the starter. And I'm not saying that, you know, now, in retrospect, he should have been it back then. There's no doubt. And there's talk, you know, the last couple years when Dame didn't make the All-Star game, I guess a few years back when Dame wasn't an All-Star for the first time, Dame spoke out and said, hey, this is bull. I should be an All-Star. And he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't have to mention it. You know, his game speaks for itself. And it will in the MVP race again. I think, yeah, he's going to be he's not going to make it just because of the record. Let's be honest, they got to win way too many games. What really hurts him is that he didn't have CJ McCollum to help him win games, because CJ McCollum could have been an All-Star beside him, and now CJ is back. He had a career year to start this season, and so the wins aren't there. But the fact that they are where they are in the standings, and to be in shooting distance of a screaming distance of home court advantage without McCollum, without Nurkic, it's all Lillard. So it's just one of those seasons that if you, as a voter, are going to give it to somebody that's, you know, in the 4, 5, 6 range, like they gave it to Russell Westbrook back in the day, I guess there's a chance for Lillard, but his team needs to win more games, and his team needs to be better defensively, which, you know, it's not on Lillard. It's tough for a point guard to affect the defense that much in today's game. But, yeah, he's going to pay for the record that isn't as good as other teams. But they would have been up there with McCollum shooting the way he's shooting. They came in, both those guys, on a mission. You know, Dame hasn't had a ton of playoff success, and so I think he came into this season thinking about doing that, just that. That's all he's thinking about. And him and McCollum, you know, they got a second half to play together, and I think they're going to be extremely lethal. I think people forget already what McCollum's done this season. He was playing phenomenally well at 26 points per game, shooting 11 threes and shooting the most threes and his highest percentage. So there's something to be reckoned with in the second half.
All right, let's keep it going here. Next one, Tobias, I'm an All-Star Harris, leads the 76ers to another win. This one, a close one, 99-96 over the Knicks. Daryl Morey was, I believe, joking in the first quarter about 90s basketball, because it was like, what was the final score at the end of the first quarter? Out. It was like 21-20 or something similar to that. Low score and affair. You know, again, seeing both teams under 100 is a little eye-opening. But Lee, what's the big takeaway from that one?
Well, Tobias Harris, yeah, he believes he was an All-Star snub this season, and he wanted to prove a point against another guy who made his first All-Star game in Julius Randle, who was deserving. So it's not that Julius Randle wasn't deserving, but he in the fourth quarter, when they needed a couple of buckets, Tobias Harris stood up for his team and got some inside. And I liked the way that he attacked inside and, you know, sort of got to his spot and hit those shots, and then he was talking the trash. And for the Knicks, after what happened the night before, a great performance against Brooklyn where they came back, they had this game really in the keeping in that fourth quarter, and then they just seemed to run out of legs. They couldn't get a basket down the stretch, and partly to do with the Sixers' defense, but largely I think the Knicks just kind of ran out of gas a little bit. And you know, so two nights in a row, they lose tight games that they, you know, well, they couldn't really, I guess they didn't really, weren't close to winning the night before against the Brooklyn Nets, but they made it a game. This one, though, they had it. And the Sixers just sort of snatched it away from them late in the game there. You could clearly see, though, that offense for the Sixers struggled for the first time really without Joel Embiid because of the gravity that he just brings to the team there. You know, with the ball and the offense, they did struggle a little bit, but they figured it out in time. You know, Ben Simmons was very good again. But Tobias Harris, he is the guy, I believe, who has to step up in Joel Embiid's absence, because there's so many more points there to be scored, there's so many shots to be taken. And if you are an All-Star, and he believes he is, then you have to do that sort of stuff like we saw from Dame night in, night out when your team's leader and superstar is out. So this was a good win for Philadelphia. It looked like the Knicks were going to be able to get one, but they dropped to, well, they improved to 2-0 in moral victories in two nights, I guess, for the Knicks.
But, That's right.
But
sure.
Unfortunately, 0-2 on the standings. But yeah, Tobias Harris, this is the sort of, we saw it against the Utah Jazz. I think it was just before the All-Star break as well, where he sees a matchup and he's like, I can take this guy. And he should. And he does. You know, he's a big, strong guy. He's tall. He can rise up and hit that shot. And that's, again, what he did last night against the Knicks a couple of times. I mean, he did it throughout the game, but really in that stretch down the end there, I think he hit 7 points there in a row there for Philadelphia. That's what you need from a leader. And so he was talking trash to the small crowd in there, saying I'm an all-star. And Doc Rivers, I think, agreed with him after the game. But Doc, we know Doc loves his own players. He hypes up his own players.
Yeah.
So good win for Philadelphia and some good leadership shown by Tobias Harris.
I didn't know Tobias Harris talk trash.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I didn't know he even knew what to say or to get that angry. I never saw him as that type of guy, but I loved it. Like Lee said, he was a bit of a closer last night for the 76ers. He's been good for them all season. There's no doubt. Shooting unbelievable percentages. You know, there was a lot of debate whether he should have been picked for the All-Star team with the Sixers having one of the better records. Should they have had a third guy, I guess, there to join Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons? But this is huge for Sixers fans. Like, you're going to need some of these Tobias Harris performances in playoff series the further you get in, right, into possibly the second, third, and fourth round, right?
Yeah. Toby. It was fun to watch him go. It never rains in Southern Philadelphia. That's a Tony. Except when Toby's shooting. Nice. Yeah. It feels good to see Tobias Harris talk some trash. Let's get down with that. I want to see more of Tobias Harris doing that because, yeah, they desperately need him to be a guy who takes over on the wing. He is their fourth quarter scorer. He's got to be their Jimmy Butler. There's no doubt. When Jimmy Butler left in 2019, they didn't have another guy like that. It's not Simmons. He just can't create the same way. Tobias Harris has been taking over. Lee mentioned that game against the Jazz. He's been their fourth quarter score type guy from the wing. And Doc believes in him, obviously, from back in the day when they were with the Clippers. But yeah, everyone sort of wavers on Tobias Harris as being a number one wing player. So no one's going to believe it until it happens in the postseason. And that's what it comes down to.
It's very Chris Middleton-like, right? It's so comparable. I mean, I know we talked about their numbers at the All-Star break, Middleton and Harris, and how close they were. And it's like the same thing with Middleton. It's like, yeah, he can have some monster games in a playoff series, but he can go missing at times too. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a concern, Lee, with Tobias Harris doing the exact same thing. You just need some more consistency from those guys that are your second or, you know, and maybe in this case, like your third best player in your squad.
And that's what happened down in the bubble. He was useless in those clutch moments when they needed him against the Celtics. He couldn't hit those shots. He got the opportunities, but he couldn't. And I think a lot of the time he was settling for shots. Whereas, again, last night and against the Jazz are the two sort of strongest examples of when he sees a matchup and he's like, I'm not going to settle just for the mid-ranger here or the long two. Instead, he goes into the paint. And, you know, he did a little fall away there last night, but that's fine because you felt that he was in control. And the team was looking for him as well down the stretch there because we know Simmons is obviously a great passer, but he's not the sort of guy who's going to be able to go out there and give you the basket that the team needs. Harris is that guy. You know, when Seth Curry's out there, you know he can hit that shot. But Tobias Harris can create for himself and put himself in a spot where he can hit those shots. So, yeah, that's the thing. He does need to step up in the playoffs and show he can do this in games that are not just March games against Knicks. You know, he's got to be able to do it when the team really, really needs him to because he's getting paid like a superstar. He's got the numbers. He's got the coach there and Doc Rivers, who's clearly had an incredible effect on him. And we wondered about that when Doc came over. Would he be able to sort of get him back to LA Clippers, Tobias Harris, where he was also a fringe all-star? And I think we are starting to see that. But this is fine. It's now. It's however long Joel Embiid is out is when Tobias Harris needs to keep doing it. But even when he comes back, he needs to still be an option there for Philadelphia. And I think he has been more so this season, but will he be able to consistently do it? Because again, I think that's where the Chris Middleton comparison comes in. It's like this guy seems like he can do it, but you don't always see it in the more important games in the playoffs.
Yeah, next game, Donovan Mitchell's late three helps the Jazz beat the Celtics 117 109. This was the first game on TNT last night. It's sort of a back and forth affair. I thought it was pretty good. Some runs from each team to make it interesting. Utah ultimately, though, hit 19 three-pointers. That's sort of their MO. When they're hitting that many, they're a tough, tough out. Donovan Mitchell had 8 of his 21. I guess it was in the fourth. Jordan Clarkson, 20 off the bench. Had D-Wade fallen in love with Jordan Clarkson? I mean, I guess Shaq was sort of too. Everybody's loving Jordan Clarkson. I thought Lee was the only one saying that guy should be an all-star. Mike Conley scored 17. And then Rudy Gobert, I thought, had a dominant game. For only 16-12 in the box score, huge difference maker. Over his last two games, Rudy's got 40 points, 40 boards, and 8 blocks. That's what you want from your center position. So, like, they got contributions, the Jazz did, from their main four guys, and that's big. But let's talk a little Celtics, because this team is weird. They've now fallen to 0-8 this season against the teams with the 5 best records in the NBA. They're 0-2 against the Jazz. They lost to the Suns. They lost twice to the Sixers, lost twice to the Nets, and lost once to the Lakers. 0-8 when you add it all up. They're the worst fourth quarter team in the league. Tass, what do you make of this squad? I mean, Danny Ainge has to do something right at this All-Star break and lean into maybe like as big a move that he can make, because this is like, they're just looking like a 500 team here, and that's with a great Tatum performance and a great Brown performance last night, but they should be much better than this.
Totally. They are one of the enigmas of this season for me, and I don't know if a trade really makes them much better. It has to come within. They have to play defense like they did in the fourth quarter in this game. They cared in the fourth quarter, but they got to play it a little more consistently throughout the game. They just don't look like Brad Stevens Celtics teams that play really hard. They don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a weird season, and they, you know, didn't have Tatum for several weeks, and something happened.
Smart, I don't know. There for a good chunk.
Yeah, he's back. I thought Smart would come back and just everything would be, you know, key into the keyhole. Done. You know, I thought Smart would just bring everything back, but they're not them. It's not them. So what, like a Harrison Barnes is the rumor from the Sacramento that would kind of be, they're sort of glue guy, whether it's a small ball five, they try and figure it out that way with Harrison Barnes, a very good player. He's still having a good year for Sacramento, but I don't think he changes their defensive mentality, and I just think it really has to come within. So there's this team just, I don't know, something is off, and I'm not sure any trade. Like, what if, is there a rumored deal out there that makes them great? Yeah, there's Emmanuel Guzman is throwing it out in the stream team. If the Celtics should trade for Thaddeus, as they're calling Thaddeus Young in Chicago, because he's right. Having a great season. He is great. A small ball five there. Yeah, he would. He would. He'd be a good glue piece, no doubt. Again, I don't know. There's a mentality that even Thaddeus Young, who's having a great year, doesn't really change on the defensive end. I hate to talk about defense, especially here, filling in for TK here. But that's what it is to me. It's not the offense, as you said. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are all stars and can carry a team offensively. Yeah, they didn't get to the free throw line a ton yesterday, and that's an issue. But I don't think Thaddeus Young is going to solve who they are. That's different. That's another question. And maybe it's just a strange season that's thrown them off, or maybe they think that they can just go into the playoffs and kick ass, because that's the way they played yesterday against the Jazz. They kind of just waited till the fourth quarter to turn it on.
What do you think, Lee, from this one, or the Celtics overall here at basically 500?
Yeah, I mean, it was up until basically halfway through that fourth quarter when the Jazz took control, and the Celtics then just seemed to be scrapping. And it's really, I mean, you mentioned Gobert, and I thought he was dominant. He needs to be more dominant when he doesn't really go up against another team that has a big that can really contain him, because he's long, he's athletic, he ran the floor last night. You know, Robert Williams is athletic himself, but he is a reserve center. And then you've got Tyus, who's... He's a stretch center. You know, he had a decent game himself there last night, but I think that's where the Celtics need to improve. I don't think Harrison Barnes is the answer. I think they need to decide what they're doing in the middle. Andre Drummond's out there. I don't know if he's the answer or not, but I'm just not sure that Tice is also the answer. He's more just a stretch big rather than the defensive big that I think they need. Because, you know, Marcus Smart last night, he was back. He's been back, and he didn't shoot all that well. He gives them that perimeter defense that I think they need. Offensively, when you've got Kemba playing, Tatum and Brown, they've got enough offensive weapons out there. I don't think they need another guy like Harrison Barnes because he's not a great defender for them. I just think they need some more help in the middle. But also, just in that fourth quarter, like, they gave up 40 points. You can't afford to do that. Even though the Jazz are a great team, you know, offensively they're exceptional, and they scored a lot of points, and Donovan Mitchell hit those big threes late, which is, you know, that's what a good team should do. But you can't give up 40 points at home. You just cannot do that in the fourth quarter. If it happens in the first quarter, okay, sometimes that happens. Teams get out to a slow start. But in a situation where you've got one of the best teams, not quite on the ropes, but in a position to beat them, mm-hmm. and you concede 40 in that last quarter, it's just not going to get it done. So I think they need to look into someone like Drummond and just see if he can help them in the middle a little bit, because I don't think Tice and Williams together can fill that hole.
You think there's a trade still be made for Miles Turner? Might have to sweeten the pot a little bit more, but he sure would help inside if that's what you're concerned about.
Yeah. He would be an upgrade for them, for sure. He has his own issues defensively in the pick and roll, but as far as his presence blocking shots, he improves them there. And that is one of the rumors that's being touted. I'm not sure what the Pacers would want in return, though, for him, because that's a question. I mean, they're obviously not going to give up one of their younger players. I guess Danny Ainge still got some picks out there, but I think that's where they have to improve. I think that's where Danny Ainge nearly needs to almost make a trade for it anyway, in that position, and shore up the middle.
Yeah, I saw Celtics blog writing this morning that it feels like the Celtics at this point in the season, basically being 500 as we near the trade deadline, that Danny Ainge has to pick like one of two routes here. One, you got to package all these young guys and the picks you do have and really go for a difference maker and try and get somebody in here to like help your chances to go deep in the playoffs. Or two, the opposite of that is, okay, we are what we are. We're probably not a title contender. Well, now let's lean into playing some of our own young guys more minutes, because this is the thing that's going on. Okay, so Time Lord then has to get more minutes over Tristan Thompson. Now, Thompson was injured last night. He didn't play. Mm-hmm. Time Lord got a lot of those, so that's fine. But Pritchard needs to get more. You know, like, they need to then go that way. And that's not tanking. That's just like, that's development and getting some of these young guys more reps and stuff like that. But that the Celtics are at this point where they have to pick one of the two. Now, like you're saying, Tass, well, if you're picking the one where you're packaging your young players, who, by the way, aren't all that enticing, I think, to a lot of teams, because they have not knocked it out of the park with a lot of these picks, and you put them together in picks, like, who are you getting? Like, who's the difference maker? Because you don't think it's Harrison Barnes. You know, it's probably not even like Aaron Gordon. John Collins, I mean, I think you can just sort of go through the list of available guys outside of putting Jaylen Brown in any sort of trade deal where you're then maybe getting, exactly. But you'd have to do that to get like a Beal or a Karl Anthony Towns or like a big name player, because you're just not going to be able to get them. And you're right. That's like you're saying, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to split up the Beantown boys there in Tatum and Brown. Well, no, you're probably not yet. Not yet. You'd rather go the other route, but I think they do have to pick one here, one or the other, because they're just not that great a team right now. They're not a title contender. You watch them, we've watched a lot of Celtics. You don't look at them going, oh yeah, this team's winning three or four rounds. You just don't. There's no chance.
It's just, why wasn't that long ago that you would look at them like that, you know, last season anyway, where they seemed like they were on the precipice of being good. Is it a glue dude, somebody who can pull that defense together? Is it a big who can really influence them on that end, or can influence the locker room on that end? I think it's somebody that kind of just has to be, I don't know if it comes from the outside though, like somebody that can just bring them all together. Because I love some of their young pieces. I know that most people aren't high on them, and that makes sense because they haven't produced a lot.
Which young pieces are you high on, in all honesty?
Like, only one. I guess high on a piece. I like Aaron Nesmith. He hasn't been able to play a lot
plays.
This season.
Yeah.
He was injured. He barely had a camp, and he's played a little bit. I mean, he's a wing scorer. That's what he is. And mm-hmm. he can shoot, but he's a little guy. If you're going to put him and Pritchard on the floor and play them a ton, they're not going to be a playoff championship team that way. I understand. There's something has to happen, you know, bigger than that, bigger than those guys. And maybe Drummond's a something. But again, it's a locker room thing for me.
Other games from last night, just quickly. Jimmy Butler scored 28. Heat stay hot. 113-98 win over the Cavs. Zach LaVine scored 40 as the Bulls beat the Thunder, 123-102. Hawks win again. Ka-ka! 119-107. The Rockets lost now 17 straight games. Wow, it's getting up there. What's the record? I mean, they're getting close, aren't they?
26.
Yeah.
The Sixers, I think it was.
Was that what it was? Cavs or Sixers?
I think the Cavs still hold that streak. Now, if you go to that dumb Wikipedia page, which I did this morning, the longest losing streaks, there's a top, the top team is 28. But that goes over two seasons.
So it doesn't count.
Philadelphia.
It doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. So 26, I think, is the actual record. Am I right?
Yeah, it is. It's 26. It's Cleveland. But Philadelphia has that record as well from the season prior. But that was obviously when they were just tanking. But I don't think the Rockets will get there.
Christian Wood is supposed to be back next game.
No, that's true. They haven't won a game when he hasn't played, right?
Yeah, he left. They started losing. So, if he could bookend that losing streak, he'd look awesome. He comes back and they win, he's gonna look great.
And then the final game, LeBron, 99th triple double, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, shout out to him. The Lakers crushed the Wolves 137-121. Just a few things from those games. You know, we were joking, we're always talking about the MVP conversation, the table. We said last time, I think we talked about Jimmy Butler, that he's at the bar, right, Lee? He's not at the table. He's at the bar. He is definitely ordering shots for everybody, bartenders included. He's having way more fun, I think, at the bar. Everybody's like a little more buttoned up, a little more formal at the actual MVP table, but Jimmy's going crazy. He is playing phenomenal as the Heat keep rolling. So, we'll talk about... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just with the Celtics again losing last night, and it's a game and a half they're up on them. The Charlotte Hornets are actually in fifth now, and the Heat, I think, have got the paces in the next two games here. But yeah, this is Jimmy Butler just out there, just like, I'm a very, very good player when I play, and it just changes so many things for Miami, because when they were down, and I think they were seven games below 500 at one point, they looked bad. But he just comes back and just installs a mentality on that team, the Heat culture. Okay, it was against the Cavs, sure. But still, this is where they just need to quietly bank those wings and climb in the standings, and they're doing a great job of it. Yeah, Jimmy, he hasn't played enough games. He just can't get in the MVP conversation. They won't let him at the table. The waiter's coming over and saying, no, I haven't got any more chairs. It's all crammed in there. But yeah, you can buy a round of shots for the boys.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's right.
You can do that.
He's celebrating. Trust me. He's going to he might get there. Give him a little bit more time here. If they keep winning.
Who's got a better chance, Jimmy or Lillard, do you think, of pulling it off as a dark horse?
Oh, Lillard by a mile. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think that's a question. I Lillard will be a top five for sure at the end of the season. If he didn't play a game from here on out, he'd probably be top five.
He should be.
He will be.
It just depends on the wins and the position.
I get it. But look, Jimmy's going to try and get his way to that table. He might figure out a way. He'll walk over in his cowboy boots and stuff like that. Yeah.
The waiter will be distracted. He'll just grab a table from a chair from an empty table.
Yeah, he'll pull up another table. Like he's sly like that. Shout out to Trey Kirby. I wish he was here this week. He's destroying me this week. I started thinking about it. Bulls defeated the Raps, right? I think that was on Sunday. So we're talking about it on Monday. Trey's Bulls, of course. And then last night, Trey's Bulls defeat my second favorite team, the Canadian Thunder. So he's rolling. And Trey, if you are watching or listening later in the day, Lowry Markkanen, huge dunk on Sweet Moses Brown. What a decent game for OKC, by the way. But that could be his first Top Shot moment. Who knows? Doesn't have one yet. Huge dunk.
He doesn't have one yet? This has got to be a moment. This was monstrous. Maybe because it's Lowry Markkanen, maybe it didn't go up like an Anthony Edwards dunk. But this is huge on a guy.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't give this enough love. Stacey King went bonkers.
Yeah.
It was on Moses Brown, and Stacey King immediately – he said, what did Brown do to you, Larry?
Oh, it's so good.
Good. Way to go, Stacey. You're on.
And the final sort of, I guess it's a question from those other games, as I called them. Tass, I noticed on this morning's What You Need to Know that you avoided saying anything about the Atlanta Hawks. And they won their sixth consecutive game. And I've been watching. I've been loving your morning shows. And every time the Hawks would win, you would make a point of saying, Yeah, I'm not buying into it. It doesn't really mean much. Yeah, they haven't lost with Nate McMillan. Nah, not yet. You did it after like win 3, 4, 5, and then 6. You didn't say anything. So are you coming around or now it was against the Rockets? Who cares? Even though they're 6-0 under Nate McMillan.
Well, listen, I love my man Lloyd Pierce, so I'm always going to say the Hawks made a mistake when they fired him. But I did mention them. I said, Gallinari has finally turned it around. That's very big for them. And he looks like the guy that they signed for $20 million per. That makes sense. He stretches the floor, and Trey's finding him. But listen, they obviously have something going on That's good. That I will never give them credit for. But it can happen. Listen, they've got a flow about them. They seem to know their roles. I mean, this is a week till the trade deadline, and now there's going to be something else that's going to be thrown at them. Like, they can't go forward with this same rotation, I don't think. I think there's going to be another change, and I don't know if this is going to last all that long. That's all I got to say. You know, John Collins feeling good in his role, you know, playing at 17-9, but he wants to be a max guy, so is he going to be dealt? But they have beat the teams that they are in front of, and Gallinari balling, you know, four of his last five games, 20-plus. He had 29 in this one. Tony Snell can't miss. And so you can't just load up on Trae Young at this point. But, they're beating teams that they should be beating.
Yeah, and some of those, as you pointed out, were like big, big comebacks too. Like that, they maybe had no right to win. But you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Look, hey, their whole goal with firing Lloyd Pierce was get in the damn playoffs. Get in the play-in tournament. And, you know, okay, six-game winning streak in the Eastern Conference. That's going to help you in the standings. So they're getting the dubs for them. And even if the competition hasn't been that great.
They've got the Thunder next at home, and then they go on an eight-game road
there
Western Conference.
There we go. We'll find out if they're that,
and they've got the Clippers, Lakers, the Nuggets, Suns. So we might find out which sort of team they are at the end of that
eight
one.
Games. That's a lot. And Sam Unono mentions this in the stream team, that I did this to Giannis when I called Giannis overrated in 2015. I wasn't wrong then. But I'm not smart enough to be using reverse psychology here either. I live in Atlanta. I want to see the Hawks great, but I'm just not buying it quite yet. But hey, I really hope they do turn it around. I thought this would be a playoff team coming into this season.
True.
So, hey, let's watch some Thunder Hawks on Thursday night. Can't wait.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, it's time for Is This News? Oh, it's been so long since I give you guys an NBA headline and you tell me whether or not it's actually newsworthy. First one, Bleacher Report. Doc Rivers says Ben Simmons is a lock, quoting him there, to win NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Juicy headline, Bleacher Report. They're really good at these headlines lately. Is this news?
No, this is not news that Doc Rivers would support one of his own players in 2015. In 2015, he wanted an investigation. If DeAndre Jordan didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year. Ben Simmons is a lock, in my opinion, for the all-defensive team. He was last season.
Yep.
But a lock for winning Defensive Player of the Year, he is far from it. I think Rudy Gobert is in the box seat to win that this season.
Far from it? I don't know about that.
Well, he's far from a lock. I mean, a lock to me is like Jordan Clarkson's a lock to win Sixth Man of the Year. The LaMelo Ball's a lock to win Rookie of the Year. I would not say that there's anyone else really in a award position who's a lock at this stage. I would say Rudy Gobert's the favorite.
Okay.
You know, MVP, there's several favorites right now. But, a coach really sees and has someone like Ben Simmons at his disposal to say, guard the point guard, guard the center, guard the power forward, guard the shooting guard.
It's impressive.
Get out on the perimeter, rebound the ball, start the fast break. That's clearly what Ben Simmons does for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think Doc Rivers wants more recognition for him because of that. Mm-hmm. I think most people now, even casuals to the game, appreciate what Ben Simmons does defensively. But when it comes to defense, you know, statistically, these things just don't stand out as much as if, like, a guy like Bradley Beal's having 35 points a game, for example. You say, wow, see, he's clearly having a great season. You can't always see in the box score the statistical impact that someone like Ben Simmons has on them defensively. But when you're watching the game and his player's got the ball, they almost every time pass out or can't get a good shot off, or they can't beat him off the dribble because he's so versatile and he's so quick. So those sorts of things, that the eye test proves it more than the statistics do. But he's an incredible defender, and you know, Doc Rivers, I'm sure, is thrilled to have him, of course, on his team. But he is not a lock to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Tass, what do you think?
No, he's not a lock. But it is good that the common fan is understanding what Ben does, because he is a badass on that end. And I think, you know, the stats of like deflections and loose balls recovered, and the hustle stats as they are listed on NBA.com. Thanks, John Schumann, for updating that every morning. those are becoming and should be becoming a little bit more part of the chat when we talk defense. I think those are super important. Fred VanVleet has been thrown in there as the leading deflections man. So I love talking about Ben Simmons because with what he does. But it's just hard for a, you know, a wing type guy, a guy who doesn't guard the rim essentially, because he does guard everybody. It's totally true. But he doesn't necessarily guard the rim. It's hard in today's NBA where nobody's, you know, touching anybody to win it on the perimeter. It's easier. It's still easier for a big guy to do it, especially because you can get to the rim so easily. So big guys make an impact. So, you know, Ben could. He could win it. And Doc is, you know.
Doc's trying to help his case. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's also trying to help his guy, you know, be more confident on the offensive end too, I think. You know, he's just trying to pump him up because, yeah, Joel Embiid, you're our MVP. But we're not just going to win with Joel Embiid. Tobias Harris, you're an all-star. But – you know, we also need Ben Simmons to be great. So it's Doc's a master motivator. That's why he's been so good for so long.
I like this comment here from PJ. Lee does to Ben what Tass did to Giannis. Aussie to Aussie, Greek to Greek. No hate, just love. I see what you guys are doing.
No politics.
Pick your countrymen. Yeah, and then you like say, you're not there yet. You can be better. Yeah. That's just tough love. Mm. It worked for Giannis. Two-time MVP, you know, Taz calling him overrated way back in the day, and then now I see what you're doing here, Lee.
Yeah.
You could be better. You could hit a three. You could lock it up a little bit more on the defense end. You guys are smart, man.
Yeah. Well, Ben's dad, Dave, of course, used to play for the Melbourne Tigers. It's funny.
It's my favorite sitcom in Australia, Ben's friend, Ben's dad, Dave.
I think Ben, from what I remember, though, Dave, he was a much more talented offensive player, but not as good defensively. So somehow there was like almost like a Freaky Friday sort of situation happening.
Right.
Ben's become an incredible defensive player and not a great shooter of the ball. Anyway, offensively he's good, but just not a great shooter of the ball. But Andrew Gaze used to throw those lobs to big Dave Simmons. The double D's, Dave Simmons, Dave Colwood. Shout out to the Melbourne Tigers in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah, four morning poops putting in the comment section in the stream team. Skeets, get that going for SGA there. Start saying he'll never make an All-Star team. Wow, yeah, I need to... you know, flip it on its head here and stop saying he's going to make it. Say, you're never going to make it, kid. You're going to be, you're just going to be always on the outs. It's a good idea. I love this reverse psychology to get these guys playing harder. Okay, next one. The Athletic. Yeah, shout out to The Athletic. Guys, go subscribe. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. We did confirm, Tass. $1 a month for new subscribers. Is that correct?
I confirmed it was headed in that direction. Have you checked?
I haven't checked.
Me neither.
But... We've told the higher ups that we need to.
We've done our job.
Yeah, we've done our job. It's a good way to put it. Okay, so the headline though from The Athletic, LeBron James becomes part owner of the Boston Red Sox. Is this news, Tass?
Very good headline. The Athletic can write some good headlines too.
That's right.
So LeBron, 36 years of age, young man. He's already owned 2% of the Liverpool soccer franchise, which is owned by the same ownership group that also owns the Boston Red Sox. He's got a relationship with them, so he's expanding that relationship. This is huge news because the Fenway Sports Group, which owns the Sox, owns Liverpool. It's among the largest ownership entities in the world, I've learned recently. He and Maverick Carter will become the first black partners of that entity. So, yes, very, very big news. Congrats to them, and congrats to FSG. Also, though, just on another front, when he was asked about this, he was asked about purchasing an NBA team. So this is big news to me. The Athletic writer Jovan Buha transcribed it. He reiterated that he wants to own his NBA franchise after he retires. Quote, that's my goal. My goal is to own an NBA franchise, and it'll be sooner than later. Yeah. Excuse me?
Yep.
This guy's got a plan. You know, he's always calculated. So when's it happening? Sooner rather than later. I mean, he's still got to play a few years. There's no way he can own one, you know, in the next few years. That's not legal. You can own the Sox, but you can't own any team in the NBA until you retire. So, I mean, he's probably going to do it when he's, you know, early 40s. He's already got a plan. Was he bringing the Sonics back?
I want to know what team, franchise is LeBron James going to own? That's fascinating to me. Like, is it is it an expansion team? Because by then, are we adding teams? Is there new squads?
I think it's the Sonics. I think it's the Sonics, because how can he say I'm going to own a team when he doesn't know if it's going to be sold? It seems like he's got a plan, and that
I think he's just got a lot of money.
But does he have franchise owning money though? I mean, you're looking at, I would think, at least $2.5 billion to get started on any team. I mean, you can take teams like the Lakers and the Knicks. He's not going to be able to afford them. So maybe an expansion team. But even for LeBron, as much money as he's got, it's a different level when you have owning an NBA franchise money. And, I mean, he'll obviously get other, you know, people to come along and investors and things like that. But still, I mean, he's what do you think his net worth is right now? I think he's worth a billion? I mean,
probably. I mean, I don't know. I actually have no clue. I never know in these things. But I think LeBron wouldn't have a problem when it's all said and done after he's played, finding people to go into business with him to own a franchise. Yeah. Let's just put it that way.
And, getting his tentacles out there right now, like he's done for years.
Exactly.
I mean, he's developed a relationship with FSG here, Fenway Sports Group. That's, monstrous. I don't know how much money he has, but I definitely know he can afford the athletic.com/no dunk subscription for $1 a month. Pretty sure.
Damn right. You think LeBron has got a subscription to The Athletic? I bet you he does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's reading Buha for sure. There's no doubt.
Buha!
I want to know if there's some Beantown boys in the stream team here. How do they feel about LeBron owning a Boston team? Because he already owns the Celtics, technically, but he's going to officially...
Raptors fans were catching strays. Like, I saw that tweet going around, like, what LeBron already owns? Well, Liverpool, and now Boston's Red Sox, and the Toronto Raptors. I was like, oh, geez, God.
Yeah, that's
damn,
the thing.
That hurts still.
He doesn't have any official equity, but he certainly owns those franchises in a different
living
way.
Living rent-free LeBronto forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you are right. This is news to me, though. Like, this is just, like, him coming out, especially, like, clarifying to Buha and The Athletic like that. Like, yeah, I'm going to be owning a franchise, like an NBA franchise. So this is just the start here for me and Maverick Carter. And I believe him. If he says it, then yeah. I mean, he says what? I'm sticking around to play with my son in the NBA. It's basically on record, right? He's said that. So I'll do that. And then probably he'll play, you know, for a year or two with him, Bronny Jr. And then hang it up, I guess, and get into owning a team. And it'll just be figuring out, what team he's going to buy. What would be the craziest team for LeBron to own? I mean, it's pretty weird when you think that MJ has the Hornets.
Yeah. Well, then that's the thing. Like, it's going to have to be one of those smaller franchises,
probably.
I think, because, I don't think the Bulls, you won't be able to buy them. I mean, so who's available?
It's got to be the Kings, right?
Ah, very good, JD. Yes.
Yeah. The Wolves, right? Yeah. I guess the Minnesota Timberwolves, aren't they, wasn't Garnett all pissed off that... wasn't taken seriously in their ownership group trying to get in there. Yeah, we'll see.
I saw people saying, well, the Wolves are up for sale. It's totally true. He could buy them, get involved there, get Kevin Garnett on it, but are they going to be sale for 4 years?
When
LeBron will be playing with his son? I just, when you say it like that, LeBron's going to own a team, and he's going to play 4 more years. He's going to become the all-time leading scorer, and he's going to wait to play with his son. I mean, the least likely thing in that equation, which would happen, is his son getting to the NBA. I mean, how much pressure on that kid?
But
he's LeBron's kid, so I'm sure he can deal with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, LeBron was under pressure like when he was like 15, 16 years old. It turned out okay for him. Maybe they thrive under those conditions. Final headline, JD, I'm coming to you first because this one was fantastic. Variety. Yes, Variety is where we go to get our basketball news.
Great.
Adrian Brody cast as Pat Riley in HBO's 1980s Lakers series. Is this news, JD?
Well, yes. Finally, there's some important news on this show. I perked up when I saw this in the doc. Of course it's news. It's interesting news because it's an interesting choice. I had a little squiz at Brody's IMDb page, and I realized,
oh wow,
I haven't seen a ton of what he's been in. I mean, I've seen a lot, but I didn't realize just how much he's been in. But what I have seen him in, he's always great. Always. One of the most likable people on screen. But I find it to be a bit of a weird casting choice just because he sort of brings like a quiet vulnerability to all of his roles, you know? And yeah. I do not think of Pat Riley as a quiet, vulnerable guy, you know? Like, I mean, with all due respect to Rolando Blackman, Pat Riley is the paragon of confidence, right? I mean, like,
yep.
So, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Adrian Brody standing in front of a parade guaranteeing a repeat, a championship. You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, maybe he'll bring some humanity to Pat Riley, because I'm not that familiar with Pat Riley, but every time I see him, he's just the yeah. ultimate cool dude, slick right. back hair. He's just the, you know, he's the quintessential champion. So, but you know what? I think that they actually buried the lead of this story because Adam McKay is involved in this. I think he's directing the pilot, and he's the executive producer, or what? There's like several executive producers, but that guy since 2015 has just been batting 1,000. I mean, he's famous for, you know, he's Will Ferrell's partner and in their production company, but he's done like Anchorman, The Other Guys, Step Brothers. Those are classic comedies, yeah. but really, like, The Big Short is such an awesome movie. Vice, which I loved, and he's executive producer, and I think he's directed one of the episodes of Succession. That's like the best show on television right now. So this is going to be good. I'm actually legit excited for this. You know, and I'm not that into basketball, but I think, you know, I'm not that into finance either, but I loved The Big Short. So,
right.
So yeah, this is news. Yeah. I'm pumped. I'm super pumped for this.
I was joking on Twitter yesterday, Lee, that I can't wait for the Magic Johnson tweet where he lists his favorite Adrian Brody performances, his favorite movies, all 15 yeah. or 16 of them. He just takes us through a list in no particular order. But what do you think, Lee, of this headline? Yeah.
Do you remember Andy Garcia's character in Ocean's 11, the hotel casino mm-hmm. owner?
Yep.
I think that is what they need for this role.
For Pat Riley.
Yeah, I think because he had the slick back hair, he had that sort of quiet confidence about him. But Andy Garcia, I guess he's pretty old these days.
I was going to say, we need a young Pat Riley. Pat Riley is the problem here. Yeah,
yeah. But that's the sort of character I think they would try to create for Pat Riley. Just that, like, you know, no one messes with that guy. He's in complete control. And, you know, that was Andy Garcia, I thought, was perfect in that position as the casino boss owner. Or okay. casino owner, wasn't he, I guess? Yeah.
Tass, any thoughts to this one?
Succession's still the best show on TV, JD. I've tuned
Well, you know, it hasn't been on in over a year, but it's my favorite show in the last, I don't know, 2 years or whatever.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
Okay. All right. That's all I need to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got an update because we're only talking about actors and sort of basketball. Our friend, Joe Mandy, he texted me yesterday because we were talking about Jason Sudeikis and whether or not he's like actually good at basketball or how good he, you know, could Lee take him? Well, Joe Mandy... He texted me, he said, haven't played with Sudeikis myself, but he's apparently very good, and he played AAU ball.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah, got to a somewhat of a higher level there, or high level. We were showing, obviously, news clippings, I guess it was, Tass, right, on yesterday's show. So, Sudeikis, Lee, I think I'd be going with him over you.
Yeah, how old is he? Did we know? Did we decide?
I don't know.
Well, if Joe knows him, then text him back and see if Sudeikis is up for a little one-on-one.
Sure. You know?
Yeah, we'll make that happen for sure.
Done. Do it for charity. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Let's hear from you guys. Were those three headlines newsworthy? They were to us, damn it. We just talked about them here on No Dunks. But let us know in the stream team. Let us know in the comments. Okay. We still have Tweet of the Night, and we'll obviously get to pick them. But Tass, talk to me about your glasses, man.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS. You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Got a great one here from last night. It was making the rounds in the NBA Twitter sphere. It's from at Mike Vorkunov from The Athletic. He tweeted this photo with the caption, "Damn, Monty McCutcheon went all in on his quarantine beard." And yes, this is a photo of former NBA official and obviously still working with the league, Monty McCutcheon. Wow, what a beard, what a look. I mean, I don't know if those are Felix Gray's, but those are incredible glasses. And I saw the Ringer NBA asking, what does it look like he does for a living? Because it sure doesn't look like he might be like the senior vice president of like officiating there in the NBA. Great answers. I just wanted to run through a couple. Nick Terry, he tweeted, he's a train engineer, but 300 years in the future in a dystopian landscape. Bay Nick, he tweeted, he's the guy who offers you a choice of a craft beer or whiskey when you walk into a hipster barbershop. This one's for people with kids out there. Pedro said, he causes problems for the Paw Patrol.
Mm.
Okay, he does look like sort of maybe like a little villain there in a kid's cartoon. Orange and Blue said, he makes porn in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And finally, a couple people actually. I saw Alex and Michael K. It looks like he makes the magic happen, or more on the nose, produces No Dunks podcasts. Yes, has the JD like beard there.
Oh, yeah.
Different glasses, of course, but what a look. Man.
He's a handsome devil. For sure.
Oh, good stuff.
Wow, yeah.
I got to get a pair of those.
What are they?
Hopefully they're Felix Gray's, because
those are some of the thickest framed glasses I've ever seen. It looks like I could run track on those.
Oh, man. Wow. They're incredible. Yep. What a mix.
So thanks to, again, at Mike Vorkunov for getting that started, and at the Ringer NBA for asking that fun question and all the funny answers. I was laughing to myself there. Reading through some of those. Okay, Pick'em results from last night. It's Pick'em results brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Jazz Celtics game. Jazz were favored by 4.5. Three of us took Utah. Three of us get a W. Tass, 7-2 for the month of March. I'm 5-4. Backed over 500. Loving that. Trey Kirby, by way of JD, another victory from JD. He's 2-0 filling in for TK. So Trey is 6-3. It's really JD at this point. And Lee, he swerved. I don't know. I hope I didn't put that on you, Lee. I sort of almost... I felt like I almost forced you to swerve a little bit.
It's fine. It's fine.
But
it was funny because I think Jaylen Brown sort of drove in when, you know, it's like that sort of mop-up time, that last play. Why are you driving inside, man? Shoot a three. I think they still would have covered anyway. I think it was 4.5 the line, but... Yeah. You just don't want to see you. Because it's funny when you are trailing and in the game, you're like, you don't care about the result. You just want to see them hit those shots and get that cover. And I was like, come on, man, hit that three. Anyway, wouldn't have mattered, so it doesn't matter.
So Lee is in last place here. Now, two games back from me. Lee is 3-6. So what's tonight's game there, Tass?
We got the Clippers and the Mavs in a rematch of a couple nights ago. The Clippers went into Dallas, took care of business, switched it up, put Marcus Morris in the starting lineup for Nicola Batum. Things worked out well. They were a little feisty, and they won. So, rematch, Dallas at home, getting 2.5 points. Clippers favored by 2.5, have to win by 3 or more. JD, what do you got? You're going to go 3 for 3 for Trey or what?
Wow. Ooh, hey, well, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, so I'm feeling lucky. I got an offer in on a house. I'm hoping that comes through,
yes.
But I don't know. This has nothing to do with anything. Skeets, you tweeted a picture of Dirk Nowitzki yesterday, I think.
Did yes,
you?
That's right.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh yeah, Dirk. I miss Dirk. So, Dallas. I'm taking Dallas because, you know, Dirk was always so nice to us, and he's just a great guy.
He's
so,
a legend.
Dallas.
Yeah, I tweeted that photo of Dirk like looking like that because there was a pack drop last night on Top Shot, but there was a lot of people trying to get not a lot of packs, and I pulled like number like 140,000. I didn't have much of a chance last night. I was not lucky, so that's why I went with that Dirk.
Okay. 140,000. Reverse 14 at the beginning of that's 41. That's what Dirk wore on his jersey.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was meant to be. Or man. Not.
So you're taking Dallas to cover.
Yeah.
Man. I don't like picking against JD right now. So I'm not. I'm gonna ride the hot streak. I'll go Dallas, too. Even though the Clippers won the last game, like you said, Tass, where do you go?
After JD's reasoning, I'm riding that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, Lee. You can make a game. Lee, this is for the taking. I'm telling you, you should swerve, man.
But I'm sitting here just going, I think the other guys, someone's taking the Clippers. I'm going to take the Mavs. But now it's like,
Come on, Lee. You're so stressed. You're looking like Pat Riley. You're slick.
I hate it because I want to take the Mavs. I think they do cover it tonight. I think they
were better. Okay, you know what? Lee. You know, again, I felt bad. I did. I felt like I pressured you into that Celtics pick. If you want to take the Mavericks, go ahead, and I'll take the Clippers. I'll offer it.
Because the Clippers, I just don't know if I trust them. I don't know if I trust them.
Mate,
had
I'm
some
giving
stickers.
You. I'm giving you the Mavericks. Do you want them?
I know. Ah, Jesus. All right, I'll take them because I was going to take the Mavericks. I just know.
Okay, good. I will take the Clippers then. So I'm the only one taking the LA Clippers to win by 2.5. So they got to win by 3 or more. Everybody else has the Mavericks. The Clippers win
because JD, I was like, I sort of wanted to see what JD goes, and then you went at the time. I'm like, oh. But hey, listen, you know what? There's still enough time. So if you want to take the Mavs, I don't care if we do. We don't do
no,
it very
I don't
often.
Want, no, I don't want us. I hate when we all have the same.
I know,
team.
So do I.
Okay, so I'm taking the Clippers. Everybody else has the Mavericks. Oh, this will be good. I was already watching this game, but now I'm going to be really locked in. Okay. That's it for us here for the Daily Show. We got another one coming later today, a brand new Beach Steppin' podcast where we answer your emails and your comments. You can email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. You can join us live on YouTube at 3 p.m. Eastern. Jump over there, sometimes get some comments up from the stream team during that one, so a lot of fun. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. I think we're very close to 34,000, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Like, right before we jumped on here, we were inching closer and closer to that, so help us get there. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com, and we think we've confirmed that new subscribers to The Athletic can get in right now for $1 a month. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that No Dunks sent you. Uh-oh, Tass, you're smirking or laughing. Does that mean you tried it and it doesn't work yet?
No. I would let you know.
Okay.
I'm not ready to go to a website and check quite yet.
Okay. I won't put that pressure on you to fire up another tab. All right, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
You got to see this, guys. Okay. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. probably a dollar a month. Haven't gone yet, but I'm assuming it's a dollar a month. What do you guys think? Do you guys think? Oh, let's just wait,
yeah,
JD.
Do we have
15 seconds? Now, I got to go to a browser where I'm not signed in.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but no problem. I'm not logged in Safari. No problem. It hasn't been updated.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Come on.
Jesus. All right, we'll get on it. By beach stepping, we will have that updated. Everyone just hold tight. Embrace the day, people. You could stay, ooh, every day, and I'd be happier.